You might think of boxing as an aggressive sport, all about going hard after your opponent. But it's at least as much about defense, avoiding punches, guarding your chin, protecting and hiding your vulnerabilities. This next story is about a fighter with a weakness, but it wasn't one that showed itself in the ring. Eloy Perez was a star in his hometown in Thurston County. He was a gifted athlete, yes, but he was also just a magnetic person. And between his charisma and his meteoric rise, it was easy to overlook the chinks in his armor. Sound Effects' Posey Gruner brings us his story, told by the people closest to him.
Emma Perez stands in a room in her parents' house, holding a pair of boxing gloves that once belonged to her brother.
These are a pair of his first boxing gloves. And you can just feel how much he used them. These hit grown men.
Eloy Perez grew up in Rainier and Rochester, neighboring small towns south of Olympia, Washington.
My name is Eloy Perez. I'm 19 years old. I'm a professional boxer, turned pro last June.
He had a chance to become big.
My all-time goal is just to be remembered.
My all-time goal, he said, is to be remembered. That audio was collected by Tony Overman, a photojournalist for The Olympian. Tony first heard about Eloy back in 2005.
My wife actually at the time told me about this high school kid that was fighting a professional boxer and said, you got to do a story about this kid.
It was the beginning of a years-long relationship, one that became a true friendship. And it started with what the hometown crowd called the legend of Eloy Perez.
His legend is always going to start with the story of him as a high school senior on Friday night rushing for 245 yards and four touchdowns, and the next night winning his first professional fight.
He seemed destined for greatness.
He told me, you know, I'm supposed to be world champion in a year. That's what they tell me.
After Eloy won that first fight at his hometown casino, he went on to bigger rings. Eloy graduated high school and moved to California, hooked up with a crew of trainers and managers. He signed a deal with Oscar De La Hoya's promotion company, Golden Boy. And he kept on winning. 8 wins. 9 wins. He fought in even bigger rings. His 13th win was a knockout. In the fall of 2008, 2 years after he graduated, Eloy came back home for a visit. Tony was there too to photograph a football game.
And I showed up for the game and I walked in and up against the fence was Eloy. And he was surrounded by all of his friends. And he had this big smile and he's laughing. I mean, this is, you know, this local hero, undefeated professional boxer back home again for one of the first times. And he looked through the crowd and he saw me, made eye contact with me, and his face lit up. He was already smiling. And when he saw me, his smile got bigger. Just because I was there. I mean, that's got to make you feel good. And that's the way he was. He was that way with everybody.
During that visit, they agreed that Tony would document Eloy's career.
I said, I don't ever want to lose contact with you. And I never did.
The rings kept getting bigger. 15, 20, 23 wins. He wasn't just winning. He was undefeated.
The second story I wrote about him, I said he carries himself with the confidence of a 24-year-old that it's never lost. And he was, I mean, literally everything he did, he thought he was going to succeed and he was going to get away. Nothing was going to go wrong for him because everything had gone right for him.
But there was one opponent waiting in the wings, one that was very, very hard to beat.
One of the biggest problems for Eloy, even as a professional boxer, was that he was an unregistered, undocumented alien.
Yo me vine cuando mi hijo tenía año tres meses.
That's Eloy's mother, Digna. They crossed the border together when Eloy was just a toddler. Eloy's father, Eloy Sr., had gone first. But at the time, Digna was pregnant, and in a decision that would have really big consequences for Eloy, she decided to stay in Mexico until after he was born. Eloy's little sister, Emma, was born a few years later, after the family had settled in Washington State.
He would tell me he was envious of me that I was born in the United States and he wasn't.
But if Eloy didn't have status, he at least had talent.
He knew he didn't have any outlook if he wasn't going to fight he would never be able to get a job here. And if he did, it would be a hard working under the table job.
He saw boxing as a way to earn some money for his parents, to make a name for his hometown, to be somebody.
Gentlemen, good evening and welcome to...
Then, in 2012, Eloy got his big chance.
This is for the WBO Junior Lightweight Championship of the World.
A fight to be the world champion. Broadcast live on HBO. Corner,
Adrian, the problem...
Adrian Broner was three different weight class world champion. Was really the Floyd Mayweather prototype is what they said about him. He was phenomenal.
It did not go well.
I knew he was losing right from the beginning. You could tell he was going to lose the fight. He didn't have the power. Now, granted, Broner was a really great defensive fighter, but he was bigger than Eloy. He was stronger than Eloy, and Eloy couldn't hurt him.
In round four, 20 minutes into the fight, Eloy's defenses failed him.
Broner hit him and it hurt. And he went to duck down to duck out. And when he ducked down, Broner punched him in the back of the head.
Good straight right hand and down goes Perez.
And then Eloy tried to get up and stumbled. And then he tried to get up again and stumbled into the ropes and fell.
It was a knockout. After the fight was over, the trouble started immediately. Eloy failed his post-fight drug test for cocaine.
Growing up, you know, I knew, you know, he did drugs, but he was smart with it. And then it came to a point when he was like, he wanted to get caught.
Eloy's managers and promoters released him from his contracts. And that's when Eloy's shadow side really started to come out.
He had a lot of demons.
He came home to Washington, got a DUI, landed on the radar of Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
And he called me and he was like, hey, I feel like I'm being watched. I was like, okay. I was like, I think it's just the drugs, you know. He was like, no, I really feel like I'm being watched.
He was. ICE picked him up and brought him to the Northwest Detention Center near Tacoma.
And he was there for over a year. And, you know, we got a lawyer. We put our whole life savings into the lawyer. And
it didn't work. The judge offered Eloy a way out of there. Voluntary deportation. Eloy signed the papers, and within a week, he was in Tijuana.
The problem with Eloy going to Tijuana was that he'd never lived there. He didn't know Mexico. He didn't speak the language.
It wasn't all bad. He met a girl, Janelle Herrera, and she saw that he needed taken care of.
He just seemed kind of like, as I would say, a lost puppy.
Janelle saw his best sides, the caring side, the goofy side. She helped Eloy get a job at a call center.
I told him, you know what, you have a great personality. You need to talk to people. And nobody likes telemarketing. But Eloy he was just great at it, honestly.
They had good times. But Janelle worried about him. Eloy liked to hang out in rough neighborhoods. He trusted the wrong people. And he liked to tell people that he used to be a pro boxer. She told him not to do that. Janelle was worried that one day Eloy would cross the wrong person, someone who knew that they would lose in a fist fight.
You know, you being mad at this person, you can't beat him up. I mean, somebody would be like, you know what, I'm gonna just shoot him.
It was a reasonable fear.
Tijuana averages almost 7 murders a day. Murders. Every day.
In early October of 2019, Eloy went missing. Janelle checked the hospitals, and then the jails, and then the morgue. Then she called Eloy's sister, Emma.
I get a phone call from Janelle. She's like, Emma, they killed him. And at this point, my mom came out, and she was like, and she knew. She just knew.
Yo la tiré y me tiré en el suelo. ¿Qué le pasó a mi hijo? ¿Qué le pasó a mi hijo?
What happened to my son? What happened to my son? Emma and Tony went down to Tijuana.
There's one morgue in the entire city of Tijuana that averages 7 murders a day, and there's no computers and no refrigeration. And they make you go and do all the paperwork by hand and stand in line all day, and you get to end the day by going in and looking at your dead loved one. And the people would come out wailing and crying and being hugged. And they'd walk down the stairs in front of all of these other people who were sitting waiting for their turn to go in and do that.
And then it's your turn.
They showed Emma a body on a stretcher. It was him.
I just fell. And it was hollering and why? That should not have been him.
The police report said that Eloy was brought to a hill overlooking Tijuana and shot execution style. That's probably all they'll ever know.
In reality, murders in Tijuana don't get solved.
Before they left Tijuana, they organized a small memorial for Eloy. Tony remembers meeting Eloy's co-workers, fellow telemarketers from the call center.
At one point, I said, how come you guys all speak such good English? And they said, because we all used to live in the States. We all got deported. One guy said, I'm from El Salvador. I'm not even from here, and they deported me to Mexico. And he then turned and he pointed at Eloy's coffin, and he said, I could give you 20 stories exactly like this.
Eloy's ashes came back to the United States. They sit on a shelf at his parents' house in Rochester, in a little bedroom dedicated to him. The walls are painted blue, his favorite color, and they're covered with pictures of Eloy and newspaper clippings. His boxing shorts are there. There's a championship belt, some shoes, those gloves. It's hard for Emma to be in the room. She looks at the clippings and the memorabilia and the microphone that I'm holding up to her face. I ask her, what are you thinking?
He's really not here anymore. And he always said he wanted to be remembered. And it's amazing that people just want to hear about him. Because, you know, from all the bad, he was still a really good person.
And that is the end of the legend of Eloy Perez.
That story from Sound Effects' Posey Gruner. You can see some of Tony Overman's photos of Eloy on our website, knksoundeffect.org.